24 minutes behind time. Well, morning to everyone. I think it's something that we must combat because it's not a good thing. No, it's not a mixture. They disappeared now. They've got their offices. Oh, it's a trend here. Okay. It's a location. That is quite interesting. Well, today we're supposed to be having Isalga. Because originally the program was arranged that today it was going to be Isalga and Demarcation Board. Demarcation Board requested to be recused. To be excused, so that it came yesterday. Now, the demarcation, these people of the Salga, they phoned to say, no, they have an emergency meeting that they must have of NEC starting from today, tomorrow, another day. Therefore, they won't come in terms of what has to happen. But there are other requirements that we have to attend to. Particularly the issue around the first item. There's been a requirement that has been raised that as we try to hand over to people who will be coming, we must be able to have reports with clear recommendations on this budget vote. You know, it means a committee must have its own report as a committee. In fact, I must tell you that when I came to Parliament in 2004, to me it was a misnomer, because reports of anything that is done within a committee is supposed to be adopted as a committee report, so that it is owned by everybody, and it's supposed to be 80-seat. Not only 80-seat, when a chairperson speaks in the chamber, speaks on behalf of the collective, based on the report that is agreed upon and adopted. Now, then in that way, it assists for the committee to make follow-up, even on recommendations. In some areas, like housing, they've developed what they call a checking system. Even once the report is adopted in the House, the executive is required to implement. Then they check whether this resolution is implemented or not, which is something that it's quite important. And the report is taken as a matter of serious importance. The report around the budget votes, the report on the annual report. Because the budget votes assist you to hold the department accountable on things that you agreed upon when you give you the annual report. Because in the budget they say we're going to do these things. At the end, you are supposed to meet with them maybe on a quarterly basis, if the time permits, to check whether are they on track on the implementation. At the end of the year, you are able to take the whole report and say, you said you are going to do this. Let's look at what you've done. You compare. You are able to say, okay, you see whether they have met their target. That's how these things are supposed to be done. Now, we are required then to look at that approach, which then leaders who are coming behind before, after us can be able to look at that. Of course, I don't think we'll be able to have the time to deal with annual report this time. But I can tell you the DA will be saying, no, we're campaigning. They don't have time to look at annual reports. They're strongly campaigning. Yeah. Therefore, the program is short and so on of Parliament. But then the approach that we're taking is that these reports, I wanted to talk about the principle and the approach. Then, so that then we distribute them by today to ourselves, not in this meeting. I wanted to agree on the principle today. Well, it's a new thing. When you come with a new thing, you must engage with your collective, with the colleagues. Then once that is done, we are able to distribute the reports. Then when you come back in August, we are able to look at them and so on and all that. We hope that most will remind you to refresh memories after campaigning, after the beginning of the launches of the campaign in the election. Now, that's what then I felt that the colleagues, let's talk about and so on and Mr. Leroux, you'll follow up, my brother. Mr. Leroux?
Thank you. Chairperson, I'd just like to discuss the question of the reports. And obviously it's a very good thing if you can have continuity and the new group that comes in must know what we actually did. But how are we going to handle situations where certain parties do not agree with the report? Are you going to allow a minority report as well, or how do you think we should handle that, sir?
The way of handling that, Mr. Leroux, is that at the end of the report, you write a dissenting view. And then that is reflected, your objections, those are the reasons and all that. Marina?
Chairperson, I came here, I was in a very jovial mood. And after meeting you, I felt so excited that our leader is here. But you said something that has spoiled my appetite, Chairperson. I'll continue eating because I didn't have breakfast this morning. The tendency by SALGA to undermine the NCOP, we cannot leave it there. I'm sorry, Chairperson, to discuss this item before we go to the report. But it's sickening, Chairperson. I want to cite a few examples. It is almost 4 years now SALGA can appear before this committee. And when they are invited to go and sit in the gallery in the NA, they came running. The whole contingent will come and be part of the people who are sitting in the gallery there to just go and observe. But for them to come and share ideas with their counterparts here, because they belong to the NCOP, they can't come. And every day, when they are invited, at the 11th hour, it's only then they'll send some excuses. To me, Chairperson, this is uncalled for. It's abhorrent. Because, and how do we assist, you know, as you can see now, in all the provinces, this halabaloo, this protest, this marches. Now, the question that we're supposed to share with SALGA is the role that they're playing in trying to assist our councillors there to deliver services. Here is SALGA who feels they are so good. All they can do is just to sit there and go to these workshops and meetings. But come and discuss issues that affect our people. They can't come here. To me, Chairperson, this is an anomaly that we cannot accept. Why are they feeling so important to say they can only go and sit in the gallery, but come and discuss with us here? They can come. Why? I mean, in SALGA, it's not one person. There are many people in the executive who can come here if the chairperson can come or deputy. I mean, but why are they treating us with contempt? This to me, Chairperson, it's really unacceptable. It's unacceptable. I mean, I might be, I'm losing it, I don't know. But I think this thing must be addressed, Chairperson. I think a strong message must be sent to SALGA that this can be acceptable. Let's hope the next bunch who's going to come here, they're going to get some cooperation from SALGA. But up until now, I'm saying 4 consecutive years, we have been inviting them. They have never featured in our meeting. The question is why?
Mr. Roo, you'll follow Mr. West.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to support Honorable Khosi for a different reason as well, and that is that SALGA cannot get their own house in order, and they are actually an embarrassment to all of us, because they must assist us, so they must assist local government. And I think it is time we put them on the carpet and really ask some searching questions, Chairperson.
Thanks, Jay. I just want to add to that I think SALGA got one of the worst reports from the Auditor General, and it's been for 2 years, 2 years running now, and there's been no improvement. As mentioned, I think.
Doctor,
thank you. You'll follow.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's you.
Yeah. Chairperson, do I understand you correctly then that they will not come this year to our committee? Is that correct?
Well, it's the second time they do this, this year. In fact, I must tell you, Mrena, I was a bit annoyed even the first time. Because the only time they came is when they were Makosi Khoza as a CEO. Oh, because it was joint. that was the only time. And clearly, last time they raised it, this year, when we were calling them, they raised a lot of film excuses, as Mrana is saying. I did not even call them the second time. I was persuaded by this gentleman next to me here to say, okay, let me give them a chance. Now, I called them, that's what happened. But I think it's something that we must engage upon as well, engaging with the issue, to say this thing is unacceptable, it's wrong, and so on. It's a problem. Wow.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I would like to concur with the honorable members. In fact, I'm not sure they still remember. I think it was 2005 when the CEO of SALCA was Mlungisi, the one who's the mayor now. He came, and you remember that you said we would like to meet with the politicians, but seemingly they do undermine us. Maybe we have to check the rules or we check the law, whether they've got something in their mind that they are not supposed to account here. Maybe we have to verify that as well. Thanks.
Yeah, well, that's what is being raised, that let's look at the rules. Let's throw the rule book. in terms of what is happening, including the Constitution, if it needs to be. It's something that I think we'll look at when we come back. I agree with yourself. Because now I was having some sort of discomfort, of comfort, when I thought maybe they came when in the ICC. Now you are reminding me that it was not us. It was because of the NA that they were there. It was a joint exercise. Clearly, Mrana, it's something that is unacceptable. This, it can't be acceptable. To me, I think we must summon them. Yeah, I mean, we write a letter to summoning them, call the Constitution, that want them at that time, and I think we take the matter up very strong then to deal with them. That's what I think we must do. Because really, I think the way you're putting it is that it's clear. I mean, and even then, when they tried to talk to me, I mean, I got a message from this guy, I think he spoke to you, but the CEO. Not the politician. I'm not supposed to talk to the CEO. I'm just the chair of that structure. It's fine. I think we'll take it like that, colleagues. Then we agree on the first thing, that on the first issue on the agenda item, that we'll present reports and we'll look at them and so on, and then look at engaging them. Then we come to the second item on the agenda, the program for the coming term. This program for the coming term. The principle here is that then in the first meeting we'll be looking at these reports, adopt them, and so on. But at the same time, you remember that in terms of Section 54 of the Systems Act, the department was supposed to have given reports about the state of municipalities in South Africa. They've given the report, at least. Now we have to look at that report and give our impression around what we think about it in terms of the performance of that. But at the same time, we want to ensure that discussion is taken in a way that takes a forward. Of course, I have my own views on the report. I don't want to influence you for now. Read it and be able to give your own impression, whether the report assists us or not. But the other thing that then we have to deal with, which was agreed upon, or suppose we have dealt with now, is this issue of financial disclosures. Not only disclosures, but also the issue of signing of contracts with the HODs. Because this thing goes at the core of service delivery in relation to the signing of contracts. Because you say, this is what we expect from you, this is what you must do, and so on, and you find that these things are not done. The financial disclosures, they deal with the issue of potential corruption. The potential corruption. Then we have to engage this department in that respect. That's what we'll be looking at taking and dealing with. Then we have to go to, on that thing of the Free State to look at the intervention that was discussed yesterday. As much as then look at the adoption of those reports in terms of what we think has to be done, and deal with the bill and so on. That's what it's about in the terms of the program for the period ahead that we're proposing. Of course, this area has an impact on the third issue, which I, the last point, which I think we must talk about, the last issue, before we finalize everything, in terms of the bills. The bills. I have been called to a meeting with the NA, which is the first time since I came in here in 2004, where they are discussing the land use management bill. The land use management bill, it's a bill that deals with the issue of applications for development in various municipalities. It means as a developer, if you want to make an application for development in a particular area, this is supposed to use as a guide, one. Two, this guide, it is what is called in the old laws, the town planning schemes. Now, this bill then is looking at changing that and making it to be in line with the new situation. Ensure that the land use is speeded up in terms of applications for development. South Africa is friendly in terms of investors and all that and all that. It is putting structures in that respect. Now, this bill in the NA is dealt by the Committee on Land Agriculture and Land Affairs. Now, clearly, it's not their competency, the land use application, because at a provincial level, land is not a responsibility of the provincial government. Now, there's an agreement that will deal with this bill. But work with them, my colleague Mwadze, but people who are leading it. When you go in brief provinces, Section 76, when you go in brief provinces, the Committee on Local Government will be handling this thing. It's their competence, it's their area. These are the principal users of the law. Now, it means then you must be familiarizing yourself with it. The schedule is very tight. There was a lot of discussion around this thing. There'll be hearings which want to hold joint at the national level with the committee of the NA in that respect. But we still have to take it to the ground. They've had a workshop for 2 days themselves at that site to deal with this thing. Now ourselves then will be able to familiarize ourselves during the process of hearing to understand the dynamics, the issues, because we must go in and lead discussions in provinces on this matter. What we'll be doing in the meantime, will develop a program for this process up until its adoption before the close of Parliament this year. This bill has been in the offing for the past 7 years. The reason for it to take so long is there are differences. The differences between the Department of Provincial and Local Government. They feel that this bill is very narrow in terms of specific land use only. It must include the broader integrated development planning. That's how they feel. The presidency feels that planning is it must be centralized. It must be led by the country. You know, people who disagree with communism, they will say, no, this is the government of communism, where the state plans and say centrally, that's where a country goes. And also, the treasury also has its own views on the matter. If you go, if you want to look at what I'm talking about, to go to page 30, the end, 7.3, you can hear the views there that are expressed and raised by different structures. I mean, when you look at it at your own time, I'm just referring to that. The issue then is the people are feeling that land use, because it's a planning matter, it's an instrument of planning. Is not supposed to be handled by land affairs. Land affairs must look at acquiring land, disposing land, settling people, land reform and so on, without them dealing with planning. But if you want to take it to another department, it means the deeds office, that issues, title deeds and so on, must be taken away from the affairs. I mean, it's a complicated matter, which I think government will look at it. But this law is quite important. Local government municipalities are feeling with this law was supposed to have been there years ago. They have resolved the dispute then within the executive. Land Affairs is leading the process and so on. Now we must engage on it. And I can tell you, this is there are going to be substantial amendments that might be made to this bill. Even by ourselves. Yeah. Because we have strong views. In fact, I'm a planner by profession. Something that I've never declared. Now, when you talk about this, I speak with passion. Because I can relate to it well. That's the first bill, and I'm saying that the process, what has happened and so on, will issue then a program around it. The other bill is Makurubas, the big one. Mr. Elru, do you know Bas, Makurubas? It's a big boss. This is Makurubas. This is what the DA has been waiting for. The single public service. The Public Administration Management Bill. That's what that is about. Of course, I must tell you, when I've looked at it, and there's never been a discussion with my colleagues that side. I just looked at the bill. It is so centralized. Even myself. You know, here, if you read it, to appoint, for a department to be created, or dissolved, a provincial government department must get a permission from the national government if you want to dissolve or establish a department. If you have to appoint the head of an agency at a municipal level, the president must appoint the head of an agency. It is highly centralized. The issue of bargaining councils, these things are done by the minister comes in, if the local government comes with determination, comes with regulations that are not involving parliament at all. In all areas where regulations have to come, there's no involvement of parliament. It's only executive. I'm saying, looking at it, at its current form, is quite an issue. It's quite an issue. Now, it has taken other issues. Remember when we raised an issue to say, why the bill that we passed last year? So was it last year? The one that was amending the public service. We said, why that bill at that time? They said, no, it's a precursor and so on. Those matters are taken back. I mean, they are here, some of them. That were passed upon last time. But the department, even issues that it lost last time during discussion, it has brought them back. Even when they lost, they brought them back because there were discussions and so on. I'm saying, yeah, the centralization, I'm not sure if I agree with it, is too much. Now, it's something then that we must look at it, colleagues, and the DA must get experts, even ourselves get experts, to assist us in looking at these things so that we deal with them in that respect. That's what has to happen. Now, it's a matter then that we are requesting you to engage with it, so that when it comes, we have engaged with it, we are clear. We are clear about it. That's the second bill. I read it with interest, this bill. The third one is dealing with the National House of Traditional Leaders. It is looking at what is to be done and so on in engaging on this question. What needs to happen? You'll remember the situation of KwaZulu-Natal, where the MEC has given the chair of the House of Traditional Leaders and the Member of Parliament, Dr. Chief Mangosuthu Buthelezi, to say you can get one pass. Either a chair of the House of Traditional Leaders or a Member of Parliament, because you can't have both, because these things are required to be full-time. And you'll recall that when Nkosi Mzimela was leading the delegation, they impressed upon us that the members of the National House must be full-time. But also in provinces, that a chair and deputy must be full-time. Now, the NEC responded to that. Now, he has informed me that he would like that to be in the bill. Must be legislated upon so that people is clear what they do and so on and what is happening. Now, I'm saying it's a bill that is quite important. It's a bill that is quite key, which we must engage upon and be able to say what we think about it. The other one, also on the same category, it's an amendment of the framework bill, act, the bill that is dealing with this. It is looking at these things of that has happened. I think you've seen the issue of giving kingships by the department, the Commission of Ndlapo was conducting the issue of checking and tracing the positions of the traditional leaders in terms of kingships. They've decided on all the kings in South Africa, who are the kings, having looked at the history and so on. Now they'll move into a category of chiefs, who are the rightful chiefs, and so on. The other category then will be of the headmen in that. But there's a discussion there that we need something in between the king and the chief, and some hybrid, because there are people who are supposed to have that, create that category. Now the bill then is looking at those things of recognition and so on, which I think you must engage upon. Is quite important. Even the structures that the king must work with and all that, their powers and functions. And the intention is to ensure that there is a normalization. Because in South Africa, a king that is looked after so well, it's a king of KwaZulu-Natal. I mean, he spends a year a budget of over 39 million. And you feel that he's still overspent, even on that budget. Now, there's a discussion in KwaZulu-Natal that for managing that, you require trust. So private sector can contribute and so on, they can manage this thing independently because it is draining a lot in the fiscal. Now, the intention then is to ensure, Bob.
I'm glad for this, Chair, because I think it will give you some clarity on where we are going to fit the Honorable Mandosi.
Yeah, look at that. Now, it's a bill also that we must be looking at it, engage with it, and so on, in that respect. Now, these bills, all of them, without exception, they are Section 76. Therefore, it means the reason for us to engage with them at the early stage, we don't want a situation where members say, no, we're not empowered. We can't go and speak on them. We want a situation at the beginning that everybody must be very clear. What are the intentions? Even if you can be woken up at 2 o'clock at night, you can talk about the bill without fear. Now, there's an intention then that we must engage because these bills have to go down to the provinces in relation to what has to happen. That's why we're bringing them early to attention and so on. Therefore, we'll develop systems of the program then, on handling them and so on, and it will be submitted to you. When you come back in August, that program will be very clear and ready in terms of this consultation process. Those are the bills that are here, but I must tell you with honesty, the one of the single public service, I am not sure whether I will be able to finalize it in this parliamentary term. Because it's quite an involved thing. Not only involved, but it is radical in its approach, transformatory in nature. Therefore, it requires a lot of time and so on, because it goes also to the issue of costing. That if you come with this bill, what is the costing of this? Which I think must do in every bill. The costing. What are the financial implications around it? Now, colleagues, then I was saying that this program is a program that goes up until the end of September. However, will come then with the detailed program dealing with the bill in terms of what has happened. Because we expected, I think, to the NCOP is having taking Parliament to people in November. Therefore, we'll be looking at these things and handling them. That's why then I had to deal with them interchangeably, these two issues, or they are related in a way.
Chair, if I may, maybe we should just keep in the back of our mind. We heard yesterday from Free State also, there's a lot of interventions coming where we will have to go and do with them, of a lot of municipalities. And that is a constitutional thing. We have to go.
Thank you very much. In fact, the issue of municipalities, why are this thing of state of municipalities? You know, municipalities, they are in trouble, many of them. KwaZulu-Natal, you have a lot of them there. You go to the northwest, and Northern Cape, as much as the Free State, even the north, the Mpumalanga, there are a lot of challenges in municipalities there. The area that we have not paid attention to, it seems to be, this is where things are going so smooth, it's Limpopo. Limpopo. It's an area that really is, we don't know what is happening there. But generally, it's clear that there are a lot of challenges. The hands, I think, what was raised by Mrena in the issue of Salga. Well, Salga is supposed to be actually playing a key role in member municipalities. It's quite a serious matter. Now, those are the issues, colleagues, that I said, let's present them. Let's talk about them in honesty and seriousness. Prepare ourselves for the rough ride ahead. Fasten our seatbelts as we are going to be dealing with these matters. Dr. Van Erden?
Chairperson, looking at the acts before us and taking consideration of the talkative nature of our members in this committee, I can't see how we can dispose of these things with a program like this. I'm afraid that we must allow extra time to do justice to the seriousness of the legislation before us. So I'm afraid we won't. We put there on 4 hours per day, except for the for August. Then we've got a little bit more time, but we won't be able to dispose of this work, the work before us, in the allocated time. That's in the first place. In the second place, Chairperson, colleague Wilhelm just mentioned it to me, there's a thick report on municipalities, which the Chairperson the other day just, I think last week it was, he showed it to us just in the programming committee. It's about that thick, and it deals with all municipalities. I just wonder whether our committee shouldn't have access to that particular volume of a report on all the different municipalities. I understand that it is available. We can buy that, but I think it should be available for members of this committee at least to access it whenever they would like to peruse it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. I was just conferring with my secretary here. This report is supposed to have been sent to all members. It's the one that I was talking about earlier that we'll be dealing with on the cover of the 12th. It's dealing with the state of municipalities in terms of Section 54 of the Citizens Act. Therefore, it means then that we'll check whether everybody has it so that we're able to read it and so on and engage upon it. It's part of our domain. And the other thing is that I think tomorrow the chairperson of the council has called a meeting with the Auditor General. Because what happened is that we had a meeting with the Auditor General's office at some point. We agreed that the issue of the finances of municipalities was to present it to us. Because it's the first time it happens, it's the first time we meet with the Auditor General. A broader meeting has been called. But in the subsequent years, the Auditor General will meet with the committee to present the report, to ensure that the report is engaged and taken up in that respect. Of course, the picture of the municipalities in that report is quite not impressive at all. In the way they're managing their finances. Some provinces, there's not a single municipality that has a clean audit. In KwaZulu-Natal, is only one. That it has a clean audit without emphasis. eThekwini, the best municipality, has a clean audit with emphasis. Now, I mean, provinces generally go with them. It's a quite sad state of affairs, which I think is something to focus upon, this thing of financial management. Because it's not what you don't have money to deliver services. It's the money that you have as to how do you spend it and account for it. Therefore, you can't, when you do go and buy things, you don't have receipts. You can't claim that any situation of incapacity there. I mean, because you use the money, you must make sure that you have systems that ensure the accountability of the taxpayer's money. Now, we'll be getting that report, of course, which to me, when we deal with this thing of the state of municipalities, we must deal with it in tandem with the reports of AG in relation to municipalities and be able to handle that. Because they are not mutually exclusive. They are two sides of the same coin when these matters are handled. Now, I am saying that the government will deal with that that way. Tambrana?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson, for the expose of the issues before the committee. Now, let me first talk to the issue raised by my colleague over there, honorable the room, about the committee report that would be 80 seats tabled in the House. The committee, if they want to, can discuss it or whatever route will take. But my take on what you said, Chair, is when you are requesting as to whether they will be allowed to have a minority report. My take, Chairperson, is that to my colleague, I don't think that will be necessary, really, because in this report, we're just highlighting what happened during our interaction with the department and the entities and all our observations and all our recommendations, what we are recommending, what we have recommended and stuff. So there is nothing really to say parties had to, have the their views as though we are voting for a bill. A report is just, it will outline exactly what transpired during our term as a committee and what we recommended to different entities and stuff, even though in a summarized form. So it will be for the first time that we have such a report where we're having a minority report and stuff. It never happened. But what I would plead to my colleagues, I think, if there are issues that they think they want to raise, as a committee, we are still entitled, empowered, to call any entity, to engage them, to put things right if we feel there are things that they have to be put right. But I would discourage a situation where, as parties, let's say as ANC will put our thing, Freedom Front Plus will put their own whatever, then the DA will put whatever, and these will come as well, and IFP will say, well, we're going to have so many minority reports, Chairperson. So I'll really plead with my colleague humbly that let's by all means avoid that route because I don't think it will be assisting us in any way. Chairperson, that's the first take. That's my take on the issue that you raised. Unless if they want to comment, but I want to deal with other issues, Chairperson. And unless if you want to come in, just to give us a direction on the matter that I just raised, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mara. Let's hear Mr. Arup before maybe we conclude.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think in most cases it will be exactly as the Honourable Khosi put it now. It won't be necessary, but you might have a position where the committee wants to express a political opinion on a certain issue. And then I think the different political parties must at least have the right then to state their political view of the issue. But I think in 90% of the time it will be clear what the committee did and how the committee decided. But I'm just afraid where we touch on the politics side, we must allow each political party to be also to be in a position to state its position on a political issue. Thank you, sir.
Okay. You are welcome, Murana.
Yeah. I'm pleased with the honest comment by my colleague. But I want to pursue the issue, Chairperson, to say the nature of this house, the NCOP, that represents provinces, unlike the National Assembly, it dictates that whatever we're saying must have that provincial flavor. Hence, I'm saying it should be for the first time because, in the nature of our working as this house, it would never happen for us to project the political views. What we can only do, if we are allowed to, as provinces, we can project our provincial views. But because that report is a report of the committee that it's our nature. Even that report, when it is voted in the House, to be voted in terms of Section 65 of the Constitution, that means provinces will have to vote. Now, to have political views on the report, it will not assist the Chairperson. We might even be challenged by some provinces in the House there to say, this committee, how are you treating your report? Because this report is a report of this committee that it serves the interests of provinces. So I'll humbly submit to my colleague to say, I respect what you said. They might be having other views about some other entities. But that can be addressed as a committee if we invite those entities. But to have a political view, but for the sake of it, I don't think it will assist us. Let me pause. I think I'll manage to persuade my colleague to see the views from this light. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Morana. Dr. Van Leeuwen. Chairperson, it's custom in courts of law where there are more than one judge sitting on a case that there is from time to time also a minority judgment. And that is very often when such a judgment is given, the majority is given and that majority decision stands. But then at least there are also provision for a minority or a minority view or judgment. That is also indicated as part of the judgment. And I think we should approach it like this. What counts then is the view of the province. But there is also in that province, on that bench, if I may use that term, there's also provision for someone who may differ and have another view. And I really think it can't harm. It's not going to harm the decision or the report or the validity of the report at all. At least it provides for other views as well, but the majority view will prevail. I really think that we should. It's not going to happen very often, but it may happen, Chairperson. And I would really like us to. I mean, I will give you one example, Chairperson. Just one example, and this is not for the record. When we discussed the 76 bills from time to time where punishment on children were declared illegal, I spoke against that. Although the problem, just have that back door open, and I would support Valerie, and I really think that we should consider it along these lines. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Van Erden. Let's allow Honorable Nduli and Honorable Mack.
Thanks, Chairperson. I would like to differ a bit with the colleagues. I think the report, if we talk about the report, are we going to manufacture a report? Because I think a report is not what we think. We'll be writing what happened. The report, it's about, it's a report back what happened. You said we did this and this, and that's what happened when we were there. This and this. Now, why seemingly, it seems as if we are cooking the report. We want to cook a report to say everything were good. I don't think the report must reflect that things were good or things were bad. We must say what we saw or what happened. Then in that case, why should we differ? Why do we have a different view about one thing we saw and one thing we did? Thanks. Now we'll come back. Let me allow, and after you, Mr. Honorable Leroux, I'll rule on what has happened.
Thank you, Chair. I want to get back to the principle of the NCOP and that we represent provinces. And that's on to what the Honorable Van Heerden used as an example. That he used judges as an example, and then you get a minority judgment from one judge that differs. To me, that principle, if we use it in the committee, we represent provinces and in this committee the same. That we don't, and I think I'm not happy with how we've run this all the time, that we come up with ANC and political parties and DA. We should then rather say this is the view of Western Cape, or this is the view of me as a member. Because the conflict, and I think that will come when you differ and you put in as political parties. That is when we will have conflict. The DA or the ANC say we don't agree with this, and then the minorities, you come in easy as IFP, this one is DA, this one is any other party. So I think when we differ, even judges, when they have a minority judgment, won't say, I differ on what I represent. I differ as that judge, as a person. And then, if you want to differ, you must differ then as a member of this committee, in the committee meeting. But when the report goes out, it should be a report of the whole committee. And that is why, in the other way, I can't see how we can have that reflected then in that report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Leroux.
When we differ, it's not a conflict, honorable members from both of you. We've been together for how many years? We've never had a conflict. We've had many differences of opinion. So I don't think we should see it in that way. We come from different backgrounds and we come from different political parties. So obviously, even if there's a pretty girl, I would think the girl is pretty and the next guy would say, no, she's not pretty. You see, we all like the girl and so on, but the one thing's just a little bit differently to the other, and we must just allow ourselves to have that movement of space in a report. If we feel that the view that was put forward in a certain report doesn't reflect my view, then I want the right to be able to say that. Although the majority view will prevail, that will be the report. But I just feel in a case like that, where it happens, I would like to say I think that I differ from the opinion, I have a different opinion than the rest of my colleagues on the committee. That's all. It's not a conflict. It's just space to move because we do represent different groups, different parties, and so forth. Thank you. And I accept, of course, that we must accept the report.
Thank you very much. I think what should happen?
No, Chair, I think to shoot it down further, Chairperson. Sorry, Chair, I'm going to use this, but I'm not good at doing this, but let me do it for today only. I've never done it before. As the Chairperson of the Rules Committee in the NCOP, I think it would be my duty to advise this committee to say there is no such rule in the NCOP where a committee will have a minority report. It's not there in the rules. So let's not expose ourselves to some of these things that are there. They will laugh at us to say, but this committee, we are having a lawyer in that committee. We are having a chairperson of the Rules Committee in that committee. We are having a bush lawyer in that committee. They're having activists in the committee. And then what is this? They'll laugh at us, you know. I think let's avoid it. But I respect their view to say it would be nice to have this thing, but unfortunately there's no room for that, Chairperson. I write.
Mr. Rabo, I mean Dr. Fanelda,
Chairperson, before you make a ruling, can we then rule, can you maybe rule that we will have a minority view on this decision? We are four at least in your three.
I think the approach that we must take is that this thing is unprecedented, right, in the committee. On something that is new, let's agree, let's go and consult. We consult the rules that govern our work, what they say. We consult different people who are important to be consulted on this matter. When we do so, we must be looking at the nature of the institution. That institution is a body that represents provinces. Then in that way, people are sent to reflect the provincial opinions and views. At the same time, then, you can't go on every issue to get a mandate. It is taken that you use your own discretion as a leader, because leadership is about using discretion. Now, in that situation, what should happen? And I think you will consult the provinces during this period, what they think and so on. Of course, ultimately, what guides the way an institution works are its rules. In municipalities, they call them standing orders. Mr. Fadarmeva is supposed to know that very well. They tell them standing orders. Then in that way, I think then that's what guides the way that institution functions, that we look at that. Then when we come back, we talk about the matter, having consulted extensively, and then we'll take a decision. To me, I think that's how we must approach the matter, so that we are able to be informed. We even consult the judges, looking at the fact that here in this institution, you have different political parties. In the main, there are the minority parties. How many? There are three. It's a Freedom Front, IFP, and the TA. The three. Now, it means if they have opinions that are different, there'll be three minority opinions, different views, unless they discuss to agree that we must have a collision. So that then, whatever, when we approach matters, we're of the same mind. Therefore, you write one report. It's something, I think, that you must look at and engage upon in that respect of whatever will happen. But I think the discussion was quite useful and quite nice. It's important that sometimes we're able to come from different strengths. Diversity on its own is a strength. So what is important is that how you manage it in a way that is not antagonistic, that is not divisive. Therefore, we thank you very much for that contribution. Mrena, on other issues?
Yeah, I'm sensitive on how you ruled on the matter. And it shows this. In this committee, we have never having controversial issues. Always, you know, when we discuss issues, it's like this. Now, Chair, some people are supposed to give you accolades and thank you for what you have done, because it is through your insistence that now we have a report in Parliament that outlines the status of municipalities in the country. Because since it was never done, as we said in previous meetings, the department was defaulting on this one. But through your insistence to the department, it's only now they submitted the report. Some people will claim ownership of this thing, and they don't know where it comes from. But anyway, a leader will never fight for himself. It's some of us who must fight for our leader to say. Exactly. I think it's fine. We'll discuss when it comes. But the issue of bills, maybe if I go to bills, let me talk about the Section 76 legislation and interventions. The chairperson of the council and the house chair, Ms. Oliphant and Mr. Mashango, they said that they've requested committees to indicate those who might be having too much work and those who might want to come back and work through this, even when other people are sitting at home. But we indicated that to some of us it might be very difficult because of the conferences and stuff. It might not be easy. But that's what they were saying, that if there's a committee that feels they want to have an extra slot to come back and work, they'll use the NCOP fund, not the committee fund. They even said you can be allowed to bring your family through the NCOP allocation. So that was very nice, that an enticement. But unfortunately, that will be decided by our chairperson if he feels it's necessary. But we might be forced, chairperson, on interventions. I think that's where, as members, we had to really be ready that when we get a call to say, colleagues, please let's go to this province because there's this intervention that if we don't go, unfortunately, in terms of the constitution, the intervention by a province might lapse. For example, the Free State were saying to us they will be coming back next week, and if not next week, that other week they will come to Parliament because they want approval that they intervene at Mr. West. Which one is it? No, not Mekari, the other one. At Kharib, yes, and one other municipality. Yeah, they said it's four municipalities. Now, we might be forced to come back. I think it's up to us as members to be ready that when we are called by the chairperson to say, please, we are expected to go there. Let's do it because we can't help it, unfortunately, in terms of interventions. Other things, yes, we can delay, like bills. If they were in the NA for so many years, and we can't be forced to rush and come back to Parliament while it was sitting there for so many years. That's what I wanted to press upon to us, to say, let's be ready for anything in case that happened. But the MEC here was so categorical to say, please, NCOP, please load, I'm coming back next week. There's another intervention that we want your approval on. That's what I wanted to say. But on the other things, that was a good briefing that comes from yourself, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mrena. Then I think that the point that you are putting across, Mrena, are quite important, they're pertinent. Because people must be ready, as you are saying, that when called upon to deal with these matters, we must agree that we talked about it, at least. It's not something new that is surprising to people. So that we're able to handle these matters in a way that you're supposed to deal with. Clearly, I mean, as we discussed, as you are saying, as we discussed the state of municipalities in South Africa, it is quite so this. And many people say no, and some of them say no, close the provinces and give power to municipalities. Take these things and give to municipalities. Look at the situation that it can be,
yeah.
It means you only have a municipality there locally and Pretoria. There is no the provincial government. It can be a set state of affairs, which municipalities will take a very long time to be ready. I mean, when we went to Bentley, that municipality, even a suburb is better.
It's a rural thing there. They say, no, this is the town. You can see the hot town there. They say, no, it's the street. You say, don't sleep in the street. Now, it's clear that really the conceptualization is something. But I think, as the committee was supposed to be leading in discussing this composition of municipalities, the white paper thing. Oh, in fact, that's one of the things that must happen. That I will request them to come and present to you. In fact, we've indicated the development to tell you as a committee on this review of white paper on local government. How far are they? What are the issues? The second one is this white paper on provincial government. What is happening? Where are they? What are the issues? We'll request them to come and talk to you about it at some point. In fact, the enemy is time, because we would have asked them at any time to come and talk to you. But then the issue that I'm raising is that, to me, I'm not sure if in South Africa we must allow a situation where, if there is no possibility for a municipality of a tax base, that municipality must be there. Probably we need something that is a bit bigger, taking area with the tax base, like for instance in Bandle, you have a metro, you create a metro there, as Peter Morris said. Then you create there an office that has enough powers and functions to deal with the matters that are affecting the people. It means if I come and want the waste to be removed, as an example, that office was able to deal with that. If I want that to be done, it means you have offices that can handle things. But benefiting from the economies of scale, in a sense that you have a bigger thing that you have the capacity to deliver. Because look at, you have about 61 municipalities. 61, the biggest in South Africa, in terms of numbers. They have more numbers. But in terms of their sustainability, it's a problem. Because the notion is that 90% of money from municipalities, of revenue, must come from them. National must give only 10%. Now, you've mentioned that they don't have the potential of doing that. Why do you have them instead of having send up but devolve the powers to the locals to be able to do things, for things to happen? And it's something to me that I think we must look at. However, you must not centralize things without devolution. I mean, I look in Johannesburg, for instance, you know, as an example, where I stay, there was a council called Midrand, local council. That council was running. It had a helicopter, dealing with crime, its own helicopter. Deal with crime, if there's anything that happens, it's there. Planning was superb. It was the fastest growing city in Africa then, because the planning systems are so efficient. If you come make application, the approvals happen quicker and so on. There is no delay. The development of a squatter settlement was an informal settlement that is there, was moving well. Then it was taken over by Johannesburg. You know, the expansion, the big thing came. Now things gone. The situation is no longer good. Delivery is an issue. Now, I'm saying this, then you find that there were no sufficient powers. I mean, then it's not helpful. Sometimes bigger is not always better. That's why I'm saying you must look at it and so on. But the issue of municipalities in South Africa is still a challenge. I mean, one of the things I think that is pronounced very clear is the thing of destroying, removing these district municipalities. Not to have this second tier local government. Because these district municipalities were reliant on the RSC levies. RSC levies are gone. Now, it means you are having that sphere which is totally dependent on the handouts from the center, which then it defeats the notion that is a basis for municipalities. Now, I was thinking that, I mean, the committee, I think something that we must discuss those things. Because, there is no body in South Africa, I can say that without any equivocation or fear of contradiction, there is no body politically who has sufficient experience in local government than this committee. Nobody. The minister doesn't go to the ground, therefore, and the deputy, therefore you can't claim. Even the department goes there reluctantly. They rely on these consultants, people, and so on. I mean, you don't feel them on the ground. I mean, we've gone to intervention. In fact, we will be calling them chief. When we go now, all departments that are affected must go with us. National departments. A person that they go to is Khalane. He calls them. If you look at his report, he calls them. Now, we must go with them, the department. Now, we don't feel them on the ground sufficiently. Then, one. The second thing, I mean, because they don't have provincial offices, right? The DPLG. Then you go to Salga. We've talked about Salga. They are affected parties. Therefore, you can't talk about them because they are the culprit in the process. And you come to us. To us, we've gone to provinces. We engage on these matters. I think we have sufficient experience. That's why I'm saying we are supposed to be playing a key role in saying what we think is the configuration of local government in South Africa. I think we're better positioned and better place to do so. Therefore, that engagement, then, I think, is something that we must ensure that we are engaging with these processes as they unfold and as they come. Now, I think what we are raising is quite important, that people must be ready to be called at any time when the need arises. The issue of local government has not panned up as it was expected. You begin to question the much classified successes of Project Consolidate. To me, I raised that this thing was pitched wrongly, because it was all, I always said that this thing is given as a panacea of all ills. It's not an approach that you take. But I think let's agree then, colleagues, that let's handle things in that way, at least of a guide and so on. So please.
Yeah, thanks. I would like to propose that let's say when we are called back during the constituency period for Free State, I think the MEC, there is no need for him to come back here. When we are going there for oversight on this municipality, he has to brief us there in that week. Maybe first thing he briefs us about these other municipalities, and we do the oversight there and then.
Okay. So it's an option to look at, Dr. Van Erden.
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding the, should we be in, of course we are going to be in our constituencies, and if we get back here, if we are being called back here, do we need to utilize our parliamentary air tickets, or will that be an air ticket for the committee in the first place? The second question is, all of us are making appointments wherever we are going to be in the constituencies. If we can just have at least 5-7 days notice of such things so that we can plan accordingly. Thank you.
Okay. On the first one, now you won't use your own entitlements. It's the parliament to take care of your business. It's a business of parliament, meaning that the committee, because the committee work will do so. But you have heard then that the offer above that the chairperson of the council has offered on other things that you think I must be handled, particularly legislation. Therefore, your entitlements must remain safe. Because in fact, we are raising that they are not enough. Now, people, when the year ends, they have to borrow from this and that and struggle. Therefore, we won't use them. And I think we take note of the time period that must be given, 7 days notice and so on, so that people are able to reschedule and arrange and so on. Now, we thank you very much for that. The last point that we wanted to check, that we're about to break now at about 25 to 12. Of course, last time it was. Do you want to us to organize lunch? Is it necessary? You are saying no. Marina?
Yeah, I don't know if we yesterday we whispered that to say if it will be possible, even if we'll adjourn now, the request that I'll be making using the ARACAP is that if we can break for whatever time when you adjourn this meeting, so that we don't go, we sit at the ARAT cluster to avoid sitting in the evening, because we're supposed to meet at 5 today, after plenary. Then so that we meet and deal with the other cluster problem, so that in the evening we don't see it. That will be our last meeting for the term. So if it's fine with members. But if you feel you are happy to sit in the evening, it's fine. I don't have a problem. Okay, sit from 6 o'clock, then until whatever. Thanks.
I'm still worried about the food that you spoke about this morning. We're a caring society, you know? that's just plain wrong. I'd like us to break for a few minutes and have a comfy break and start in 10 minutes' time. I'd very much like to support Honorable Khosi.
Okay, then it means the lunchtime will be arranged by his cluster. Mr. Lulu, we are trying to build a caring society. We are not a caring society now. We are still what we consider to be. Thank you very much, colleagues. Then we'll meet in 10 minutes after a comfort break. There's no smoke break. Nobody is smoking here.
Yes, we'll take you as adopted. yeah, that was the only election.
Do you see where Honorable Sikwela is? Okay, good. I think I seem to agree with him. Now, any discussion on the minister, Honorable Leru? On your mic, please, colleague. On your mic.
If you look at item 4, the second last sentence that ends with the Premier of the Eastern Cape. I think it should read to relevant departments and also sent it, and not send it. You can just check who's better with language. I think it's when you sent it. And then I'd like to comment on the neatness of the documents that are in front of us. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Honorable Leru. Yeah, in fact, I'm the one who told her to do this thing. No, thanks. Thanks. Yeah. No, thanks, Grace, because this accolade. That's why I get a window. Yeah, any other thing on these minutes? Can we pass?
Okay, sorry. That the chairperson informed the committee that he requested, must include that there, that he requested the Department of Safety and Security and Justice, because it's a two departments. Now you are saying the Department of Safety and Security of Justice, it's not separated, but they are two departments. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
I'm pleased members have read this minute, you know. That makes me happy. Thanks, Honorable Leader. Dr. Faniata?
Chairperson, there are two. So this is now the 29 January, is that correct? We just go to the second page. There are two paragraphs, four. First, three, consideration for Malanga oversight program, then four discussions on the correspondence. And that number four, if we go down three lines, the fourth line, beginning with two, also committee must also write letters. I would say the committee must also write letters, isn't it? Are you with me, Chair?
Yeah.
The committee must also write letters to the Eastern Cape Provincial. What? Thank you. And then, of course, number four, general, must be number five then.
Yeah. Fully agree. I agree. And other question on the issue on the minutes. I hope that there are no discussions. Are there discussions on the minutes? Thank you. Can I put the minutes as adopted by the committee? This set of minutes of the 29. Agreed? Thank you very much. Can we? Where are the affinities on the case? Where are the affinities?
can we now go through the minutes of the 12th? Any correction on the first page, Dr. Van Heerden, Mr. West?
Page, Chairperson.
First page,
okay.
West. First page, any correction, Honorable West?
Chair, just right at the bottom, departmental officials in attendance, Carol Paxton, director. Just director started correcting. The word director. Carol Paxton, director. Stricter. It must be just the D must come before the I.
Spelling mistake.
The spelling mistake.
Is that a new naming this term? What is the new side? Yeah, I think you're right, Honorable West. On the second page, the chairperson opened the meeting, open and welcome. I sugar and agree. Dr. Panetta?
No, chairperson. It's just that you opened it twice, I think. And then you must welcome them also twice. Just correction, they declared the meeting open.
Any other comments, Honorable Leroux?
Just on resolutions, I'm not sure what's meant by the motion agreed. I think that we might have different wording there. I do not think a motion can agreed. A motion can agreed. Well, maybe if Grace can explain what she meant there.
Maybe it's to adopt, you know. Grace, what motion is this? Adopted, yeah, it has to be adopted. The motion was adopted. The motion was agreed to or adopted. Which word are we using here? Yeah? I was saying adopted or agreed to.
Adopted.
Any discussion on the minutes? Or any other correction? Can I put the minutes before the committee so they be adopted? Thank you very much for your support. Yes, we met twice that day, you remember, colleagues. Let's go for the meeting of the 12th February again, that commenced at 14 hours. Any correction in the first page? No correction. Can we go to the second page? I'm avoiding reading line by line, but if you think I'm too economic, I can read the line by line, colleague. Honorable Sitega, Honorable Mduli. Right. On the second page, non-detectable fragrance. Honorable Fanerle.
Chairperson, I don't follow what's the bill. Right at the bottom of page 2, that's now the 12 February, 1400 hours, non-detectable fragments. The bill prohibits the use of any weapon designed to injure by fragments which in the human body escape detection by X-rays. Shouldn't there be, aren't we missing some word? The bill prohibits the use of any weapon designed to injure by fragments which will in the human body, maybe, which will in the human body escape. Shouldn't it be will inserted there, after which will escape, which will escape detection by X-rays?
Yes, English teachers, Honorable West, Honorable Shitega. The doctor said in that bullet there, non-detectable fragments, the second line there, designed to injure by fragments, which is proposed that they said which will in the human body escape.
Okay, the only thing I may possibly suggest is a use of any weapons designed to injure by fragments which in the human body will escape detection by X-ray.
Yeah, somewhere it must be
will. Between body and escape. And the human body will escape detection. Maybe.
What are you saying, Darren? Which will?
Yes, after the, which in the human body, after the word human body, will escape detection by X-rays.
If we want to make it perfect, it should then read, injured by fragments which, comma, in the human body, comma, escape detection. Okay, if you put those two commas in, it reads very well.
I saw a hand, Vanara.
No, sir, what I was going to say is perhaps I see that wording was taken directly from the bill. I was going to suggest that we look at the wording in the bill, then put it there exactly. But I don't have that bill with me now, because that will help.
But in the meantime, are we putting the will there, or after which, or after body?
After body.
After body.
No, okay, I wanted to say that I think this, I mean, the principle that these things will be read by people years after us. Maybe at that time will be 16 feet deep. Therefore, I mean, that must make sense to those that follow, you know, even scholars, students, reading this thing. Therefore, I would say, I think, Chair, in that spirit, in understanding, I think if we put it will after, I mean, after the body,
yeah,
it makes sense. But the intention really for us is to ensure people who read must make sense.
Right, so we agree that we're going to, between body and escape, we're going to put will there. Can we go to the page 3? Any correction there, Noble
Stager? Chair, just a point of interest. As a matter of arising, have they approved the bill? They have passed the bill in the NA? Because, I mean, I've not heard. These things sometimes they are discussed by ourselves, but sometimes we don't get the feedback whether they agree or disagree with your amendment on the other side. I think we must have a tracking system in the future that once the House passes these things, when they go back, a report is given that the bill was passed with amendments or no amendments as agreed to that type of thing. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'll check with, I'll give Vanara to comment on it. What I remember, the chairperson of the committee in the NA, they've invited us to
to go and discuss some amendments that we proposed. And in our discussion, they accepted all our amendments. Now, this committee is dynamic. All our amendments except one. But I tried to persuade him, because what they were reluctant to accommodate was in the question of regulations. Because they were saying, no, they don't think it's necessary to have regulations. Let's leave it as it is. But I said, if the portfolio committee will insist that they don't put regulations there, that will be tabled in Parliament. We have made a day for the department, because that's what they're afraid of. Because they don't want to account to Parliament. So that's why they are, you know, they're having it a free day if they don't account. Regulations will pin the department down. So he said, no, now he gets the point, because they didn't understand what we meant by that. But I don't know if... but maybe if Vanara comes in, let me hear Honorable Shiteya.
Now, Chair, on regulations, we have taken a decision that regulation is subordinate legislation. Subordinate legislation must come to the principal who are making the law. The Parliament in the past has been not taking that very seriously. Now we say it must be compulsory, that the regulation must come here. And in that, so that they don't escape, as you are saying, they do their own things and come with those. Therefore, I'm saying that one, if they were reluctant, they'll be forced to agree, because we're on the right side on this one. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much, Vanara. Passing will end.
No, Chair, it was not yet passed. I think I'm happy to learn that from Honorable Shikwega that indeed regulations are subordinate legislation, because I was nearly killed in the portfolio committee for saying that, which I found strange, because I was requested to basically go brief the portfolio committee on the reasoning behind the amendments that were effected by the committee. And I think the committee was comfortable with all the amendments except this particular issue of regulation. And when I tried to explain exactly what Honorable Shiteya has explained, then I was nearly killed. So the last time it was not yet passed. I think they indicated that they wanted to speak with you as the chairperson. That's the last I had regarding this.
The last point, Chair, I think what we should do in the event, because, you know, I think they are used to a situation where NCOP would not make amendments. Now they are a bit shocked to the marrow when these amendments are made. Now they are beginning to say, no, maybe they think that they can go away with it, they can ignore. Now I think when they were invited to engage, we must, when we are on the right, in every respect that is used as a criteria to the right, we must put our foot down. In the event of disagreement, this thing must be taken to the chief whip. Say, no, we don't agree, let's go to the chief whip. That's what we did in local government, amendment the law. I mean, up until my colleague, because he was coming with the minister, you know, I say, with the power, they say, no, there's no way with this one, up until they succumb. Now, say, when we're on the right, we know that everything is right. I think let's put our foot down on every law and show that then we require chief whips to assist. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think that was the rule I'm going to take. Honorable Nero?
Go on.
Power to gather information, chapter 3. In the middle it says, this information may be possessed by different sources. I think what is meant there is this information may be acquired from different sources. It's 3. Right.
power to gather information in the middle. This information may be possessed, the sentence reads, but it should read, this information may be acquired from different sources. If I understand that correctly.
I'm trying to remember, because this, it comes from the bill as well. Can you remind us of another, this caption here, this phrasing here? I can't remember offhand. The term possess rather than instead of require.
Chair, I don't have the benefit of the bill in front of me, but if one reads the topic, it speaks to the acquisition of the information rather than possession of that information. So I think Honorable Leroux will be correct in what he's saying.
But when you read the whole sentence, I thought it meant that if a particular grouping are in possession of this particular information, the minister will have a right to access that information. The information that is in possession of that particular entity or grouping. I don't know, I'm just thinking. As I'm saying, I'm also not there.
Acquired is better English. Possess, you normally possessed by the devil, or you possessed. It's not quite right. They might have used that in the bill, I don't know, the word possessed, but certainly the word acquired from is better English, and it still reads in context. That's just my opinion.
Thanks, Darren. Honorable,
Chairperson, as I read it, I think I agree with you. It is in possession by an individual. This information may be in possession by different sources in the besit van verschillende bronnen. And then once it is in my possession or in an organization's possession, then the minister may. That's how I read it, Chairperson, but I'm not sure.
That's how I was also trying to think, but I don't know. Maybe let's pass, unless there's someone to assist us. English teachers, please come to our rescue. Some of us, English is not even my third language. What are you saying, colleagues, before we pass? What are you saying? Should we put leave it as possessed, or should we replace possessed with acquired?
You can use both. Let me get back to that. This information may be in the possession by different sources and may be acquired by the minister.
Okay, business, I'm not sure what the bill meant to say there, you see, because you might be 100% right if it means that this information was in possession of different entities, then the minister has the right to access that information. If that is what the bill meant, then we can leave it just as it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it meant, because it's saying if there's information that is possessed by a certain Mr. Leroux somewhere there, the minister in this bill is entitled to go and access that information just to access that information for the purposes of checking if you don't have this illegal weapons and whatever. That's the...
And we can certainly leave it as is, Jefferson, if you
could. Honorable West, are you fine? Okay. Now, any discussion on the minutes? Any discussion? No? Thank you very much. I took it as passed. Can we go to the meeting of the 13th of February? Any correction on the first page? I was not part of this meeting, so you'll bear with me. I won't assist you in making any corrections or whatever.
two. Yes, Doc.
Just under the heading reporting, we should refer to the United Nations, which is line 3 under the heading reporting.
Can you follow colleagues on the heading reporting? Good. That's fine.
Chairperson, and then maybe under regulations we should also say members requested clarity from the department as to why, I would also insert there the National Intelligence Agency. Just, I think so.
Chairperson, just below that, the line that starts, the department responded that all stakeholders were invited during the drafting of this bill. Just put the of in there.
I agree.
And then on page 3, no amendments, Chairperson.
I think I agree with you on page 3 in particular. I think that's where my interest is.
Maybe a minority.
No, please, man. This won't show that we're a caring society. Please, let's not put that. Yeah, I think the eyes have it. Now, can we pass, any discussion on this one? No. Thank you very much. Can we go to the minutes of the 11th of March? Hey, this thing. This is Mr. Leroux's bill. Okay, I know, still the same. No, it's not the one. Still, we're still prohibiting this thing.
Hello.
Yes. We're still prohibiting this legal weapons. It's when we're meeting at. Oh no, yes. It's when we're meeting at Tokwe. Page 1. Page 2. Yes, Honorable Wes.
Chair, after opening and welcome the last sentence, the minister in order to perform other functions after they retired.
Where are you with? I'm lost.
On page 2.
Yes.
Opening and welcome.
The heading thereof, yeah.
Then at the last sentence under that paragraph, opening and welcome, the last line. Minister in order to perform other functions after they retired, not function.
Are we in the same page? What is the page 2? Why is this one? No. No, but why am I having the meeting that started at 9. I was still there on the meeting that started at 9. Is it two sets of meetings?
And the other one.
No, let's deal with the one that the agenda was. Where's the agenda? Yeah. security agenda, please.
Deliberation on Judicial Service Commission Amendment.
No, no, I'm still here. This is the first set of minutes. The one that you're talking to now is the second set of minutes. Unless if mine has been...
I'm sorry,
After the blank 3 years, it's the agenda is the deliberation on prohibition. Are you having different things? Or AM is upside down? Okay, let me jump this one. I'll come back to it. I'm being disempowered, yeah. Yeah, Honorable West, you were still trying to address me on this thing. Under opening and whatever, you said, sir?
Under opening and welcome, that last line.
Yes. Minister?
If for judges to get permission from the minister in order to perform other functions, plural, after they retire, not other function.
Or functions.
Let's just be an S added.
Okay. What I saw in Pemba was saying, Mr. LaRue's bill. Okay. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Fine. Good. Can we continue again? Honorable LaRue?
Under the heading concern raised by members, it must be concerns with an S. Then the very first line, I cannot understand exactly. We must have a look at that line. It's not right. Then the third paragraph, it says, if judges receive salaries when they retired, that's wrong. When they are retired, you can say, they are still under judiciary. You know, if judges receive, if you take out the X, salaries when they retire, not retired, they are still under judiciary. There's no such a thing. They are still in the service of the judiciary, you could possibly say. And then the very last line on that page, the commission found it very difficult to conclude cases. Or they find it difficult with it after E. But I would like the committee just to read the first paragraph that starts with prior 99 and see if you can make sense of that.
Address us, Lerou, about that one.
Chairperson, the issue of earning a salary on retirement and still need to perform extra functions in order to earn extra income need to be looked at.
Yes, so what's your take on that one, colleague Lero?
So I will have to take a bit of time to draft the sentence better, but my learned colleagues can also help in that case, please. But it doesn't read correctly as it is, yeah.
The issue of earning, the second line now under concern raised by members, the issue of earning a salary on retirement and still perform extra functions in order to earn extra money need to be looked at. I think that we just take out the first need to.
Yeah.
The need comes in, then it makes sense, Chairperson.
Can you read it after with your proposal? Can you read it now, Doc?
Yes. The issue of earning a salary on retirement and still we take out need to and still perform extra functions in order to earn extra income need to be looked at.
Okay. Honorable
Chair, whilst I'm still there, but I'll go back to other issues. On the same, when you continue. It says if the law contradicts with the Constitution, what does it mean? It means then if you wanted to use with, you would say if the law is in contradiction with the Constitution. But you can say here, if the law contradicts the Constitution, remove with. Then it is needed, just remove with. Then the other, when you go back to paragraph on Advocate Dilange, the first paragraph, the second sentence. After retired, it says after his or her retirement. You know, once you use that, then it means you must follow it through. It must be applicable for this, for this. You must be saying he or she, his or her. Then it goes down like that. It means you must just collect all those, check the sentences and so on, because it goes on and on and on until he or she dies. And away with his or her spouse. That type of thing. No, that is, that women no longer allow that. You say that they fight. They say. Yeah, or in terms of the language.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. If you avoid that, you want to avoid those all the time. That type of a thing. I mean, I'm saying just follow that one too, Shimron. Yeah, those are the two things that I wanted to raise for now.
Note that, any other corrections? Can we go to page 3? Give the meeting agenda exactly that time? Are we sure?
We can't remember.
Can we now go to the last set? The date of that meeting is the 12th. Let's replace 11 is to the 12th.
That's where the conclusion was.
Yeah. The 12th. Any correction in the first page?
I will pass. Just before that, just say something which I think Grace must think about in the future. That, you know, it will be, you know, we set meetings at times, and we don't start on time. It's not usual in Parliament. But I think in parties, particularly the DA, they don't start on time. Now, I think Grace is then, when Minister asks no, and say maybe the chairman start to declare the meeting open at this time, and we'll come at this time, same at the time. So you can check yourself whether we're always on time, because sometimes it's not necessarily at 9 o'clock that the meeting starts. You find that. That type of thing, yeah, that's what I want to check. Yeah?
Or else they'll write the minority report, you know. You know, if there's something I'm not going to do today, it's to ask to vote, because really, there'll be a tie all the way. To hang Parliament. Can you go to page 3? I think there are no corrections here. Any discussion, Honorable Van der Merwe?
There's just something that I want to find out. On page 2, the first clause is right, and 5 and 9 and 10 is a little bit away. I just mentioned it. It's not centralized. Clause 1 on page 2. It's in the center of the page. Clause 5 and the others is not centralized. I just mentioned it.
the members are so observant. The third year numbering it goes like it's, you know, it's dancing. It's slanting. Right. Now on page 3 there are no corrections. Can I put the minute as adopted? So the committee has adopted all these set of minutes. We didn't put all the minutes here, but just for now, I think this will do to allow our secretariat to submit these minutes accordingly. Thanks, colleague, for approving our minutes. Now, we are now going to look to approve because we have requested provinces to send us mandates. We are now discussing the second item, the mandating procedures bill. I'm made to understand that not all provinces send their mandates. The set that was given to me has been taken again. For what reason, I don't know. I think I must change this set. Hey, my daughter, where's my set? In front of me, I've got a mandate from Free State, from Limpopo, I can make copies for all those that are here because, for example, I don't have the KwaZulu-Natal one. I don't have Northern Cape one. I don't have Western Cape one. While we're still waiting for, we don't have Eastern Cape, we don't have Gauteng, we don't have Northwest, that's what I was meant to attend this morning. I don't know what's happening. Maybe we're still waiting for other provinces. Honorable Wes, can you address us about on your mandate, please, colleague?
Okay, yes. The Free State, I originally presented the bill, Mandating Procedures of Provinces Bill, and then, as you know, we had an amendment. I didn't do that. I think that was sent through, and that they conferred with the legal advisors, and they have now adopted the bill as amended by the National Assembly, as they say. So they've agreed, and you have the mandate in front of you, Chair.
Is there any discussion about the Free State mandate? Great. Can we now listen to Honorable Ntuli addressing us about their mandate, KwaZulu-Natal?
Thanks, Chair. The province of KwaZulu-Natal met on Tuesday, the 24th of June, 2008, and agreed to mandate KwaZulu-Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the mandating procedure of provinces' bill. So I submit.
Thank you very much, KwaZulu-Natal. Is there any discussion about their mandate? No discussion. We're now going to listen to none other than the peaceful province, Limpopo. The last bagon paragraph. The House further resolved to confer a mandate to the provincial NCOP permanent delegate to vote in favor of the bill as amended. And that's if I wanted to read the whole... I'm doing exactly what the Honorable Ntuli did. I'm good at copying, you know. Good. While we are waiting, can we listen to Honorable Northern Cape Honorable Van der Merwe? Can you address us on your mandate, please?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. On the 21st of August 2007, the House support the bill from the Northern Cape.
Is there any discussion to this mandate? No discussion. Agreed to. Can we now listen to VESCAP on the stand? Yesterday I was so disappointed. We're not given a chance to air our views about voting, you know. I think, colleagues, I want to urge this committee, let's go and do it in the House, so that they allow us to say to the aye and no's, you know, and VESCAP on the stand, those things. Good. Honorable Novello Mac, can you address the committee about your mandate, please?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, this thing of silent diplomacy, Chair. took away my identity.
And you're getting support, you know?
Yeah, Chairperson, let me tell you, in this week I still had to go back, and I think you know, I had to breathe the final. They wanted me to come there and to brief them yesterday on the final mandate. Last night, this went through the House, the legislature in the Western Cape, and this morning it was here. About an hour ago it came here. So that is why I see the Western Cape begs to report that it confers on the Western Cape delegation in the NCOP the authority to support the bill. They are satisfied. Thank you.
Why are they taking it? Yeah. We don't have Eastern Cape. And we don't have... The only challenge, colleagues, is that some of the provinces have their mandate, but they thought we were sitting at 5. So they were taking their time to know they will approve it 2 o'clock, and then so that when we sit, the mandate will be here. But I've been trying to call them to see if they can expedite these things so that they have their mandates here. Now, can I be advised? Why then? Because we need 7 provinces to agree. Five. And KwaZulu Natal, Dawood. No, I'm saying KwaZulu Natal. If you can vote twice, you know, you'd have made our day. Now, advise me, colleagues, what do we do? Because I know the mandates are there, but they're sending them whenever. No, what I'll suggest is that maybe because they bring our food here, just some people don't eat this junk stuff. We're going to while enjoying our food, wait if they'll bring those mandates. So before we go to the house, we vote on those things and then so that we don't come back again. That's what I'm trying to avoid. No? Yeah. I mean, we have been so good to me and to this committee and to Parliament for me really to just keep you here until late in the evening. Today I wanted to stop. We're finishing our meeting today. That's the end of for this term. So there's no way we can sit again later. But let's check, Grace, where is our food so that while we're eating, we can just stay around here, don't go anywhere. When they send those money, because the members say they won't sit in the evening. They want to finish this meeting now. They are ready for this meeting now. No, I said they must bring food here. Yeah, most want to do something for us. Can you phone them so that they bring the food here? In the meantime, what do we do? Think. Let's have a comfort break. Immediately, the because we need only 2 mandates. So that I put the whole mandate, all the mandates so that we vote as. Mm. 7. Because it's 6 now, 6 provinces now, but we need 1 more. I request someone to talk to the Mpumalanga mandate. No, maybe before that, let me call Honorable Leroux to address us on the mandate from the Eastern Cape.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Mayosi, I'm sure he did it. He's a traditional leader, and we thank him for doing the business for us. The committee was briefed on the amendments affected by the portfolio committee to the bill. The committee noted that the amendments were technical, logistic, and that there were no changes to the principle and the object of the bill. The resolution is the committee supports the bill as amended and resolved that the following final mandate be conferred. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I request Honorable Shitega to address us on the Gauteng mandate?
Okay.
they are requesting us to vote against the amendment.
Oh.
Yeah. If you look at it, the last page, 1.6, in fact, they didn't even talk to us about this thing. They are saying because they don't want to support their further amendments. They want to confine them on the other amendments. Then let's vote against. That's what Gauteng says. That's what is about, Simran.
Yeah, can you request Honorable Shitega to just read paragraph 6, just to formalize it.
Thank you, Chair. Due to the substantiveness of the proposed insertion of any other question in the bill and the significant bearing that the phraseology will have on the ultimate interpretation and application during the implementation stage, the Rules Committee cannot recommend that the House support the further amendments to the mandating procedures of Provinces Bill, BA2D 2007, as proposed by the National Assembly, and the mandates the Gauteng delegation to the NCOP to vote in against the amendments.
That is clear.
Chairperson, chance for a minority.
Yeah, these things. Can I request someone to address us just to read the Mpumalanga mandate, please? Any volunteer? Honorable Van der Merwe.
Thanks, Mr. Chief. The delegation represented the province of Mpumalanga in the National Council of Provinces is conferred with authority and a mandate to vote in favor of the bill.
Thank you very much, Dara.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Which one is that, the chief? Yes. Can you keep your mic there? Okay. Colleagues, I think... colleagues, we... Seven provinces support the bill with amendments. And one province against... And we're going to give Venerable Stella to make a statement about this in the House. Yeah, the only province that we didn't get their money is only Northwest. But we've got the majority of provinces who are talking to the bill and they're supporting it. Can I now put the whole... because permanent delegates were talking to their mandates, but we have to vote now. Let me check... if we got the majority of provinces. Eastern Cape, support?
My moment of glory is now. Yes, we support.
Free State?
Free State, say yeah, ondersteun.
Thank you very much. Counting.
Mr. Ru is so happy today. He's the happiest man. He's gloating on the misfortune of others. Well, we don't support Chewa again. Thank you.
What a pity. KwaZulu-Natal
support.
Limpopo, we support it. Northern Cape?
Nearly for us, there are almost 10 that fall hard.
I jumped in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, they support. We don't have Northwest, by the way. Western Cape.
Iveskaap ondersteun.
Formerly, 7 provinces support. 1 objection from 1 province. Then the committee, I'm happy to announce that the majority of provinces supported the bill, and the bill is therefore agreed to. We'll report to the House accordingly. Colleagues, earlier on in the other clusters meeting, the chairperson thereof requested us if we want lunch, and we didn't respond. Now, because our meeting was supposed to sit on in the afternoon, so that's why when we tried to arrange something to eat for us, they said it's late. We can wait until only at 2. And by that time, it will be late to many of us. So, and sorry for the inconvenience, colleagues. Can I check if there any volunteer want to thank the committee on behalf of all of us? Because I don't say anything. The manner in which you are good to us since we started with budget hearing up until now. This is our last meeting as this committee, colleagues. I don't have ways to thank you, but I want to check if there's any volunteer who can thank all of us for the participation, cooperation, and everything under trying circumstances, meeting the evenings, and at the same time preparing our speeches in the house, but we soldiered on up until now. Welcome, I forgot to welcome our colleague, the special delegate from KwaZulu-Natal, Honorable Yasi Tebe. Welcome, Danenkosi. From my side, really, to the staff and everybody, thanks very much. You have been so good to us, both clusters, really. Without you, I don't know if we'll be able to do this thing. What a shining example is both clusters, security and local government in the NCOP. This can only happen simply because of you. Wouldn't do it without you. Thanks very much. If you are a star, we are stars, really, we are the moon. If there is some promotions to be given to all of you, please talk to me. I'll do something about it. Any volunteer will thank everybody, the committee members on our behalf. Any volunteer?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll try my best to say thank you in a proper way. First of all, to the two chairpersons, I think both of you gentlemen have done a fine job, and we really thank you for your impartiality and the way in which you handle this committee. I think you've done us proud. I think it is fair to say that we don't necessarily need to agree at all times, but I think we all treated each other with great respect, and I think that is a right way for us to go in the committee and for the country as a whole. We need not always to disagree to make a very big success of South Africa, and I really want to thank everybody for the participation and the enjoyment we received from being on these two committees. And also from the staff, I think we have wonderful staff, and we thank them very, very much. And we hope they'll carry on like this, and also in the new year when they will see new faces on these committees. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
My co-chair, anything from you? On that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thanks very much, colleagues.